We're holding here in middle of Perkei Aleph, and we're speaking about the Chazal that it says Darshu Gliloi Leid Rav Chista, that there was a Gliloi that he said to Rav Chista. He described Matan Torah as Rich Chachmona Di Yovlan Araisat Lisa. Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a triple Torah, La'am Tliso, to a triple nation, Adet Tliso, to the third person, Biyom Tliso, on the third day, Biyach Tliso, on the third month. And he's describing Torah as being part of the threes, and in that way it's something which is very, very shalim. The Maral explained up to this point that the threes over here speak specifically to a midah that's called yosher, which is guess, translated as straight, as something that's yosher, or straight. And we'll see how he describes all of the different elements as yosher. We're holding here v'nosna som la'amtlisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to a triple nation, la'shayish b'mayosha, meaning that they have this attribute of yosher. Because Yaakov was the third of Davis, Nikra Yaakov Yeshur, and Yaakov is called Yeshur. Miloshin Yosher, Shuem Tzoy ben Avram ben Yitzchak. So the Avos themselves built Klal Yisrael in a way where each and every one contributed something to Klal Yisrael. And the Midah of Avram of Chesed is a very important Midah, but it goes off at an angle. The Midah of Yitzchak is a very, very important Midah. It also goes off as at an angle. Yaakov is the one that's Yosher. Shehu emtsoy ben Avrom Yitzchak. V'Yisrael shem amtli so mora sheyesh ben Yosher. So Klal Yisrael are considered Yosher because we come from Yaakov, who's called Yisrael, Yeshurun, and that's why we're called Yesharim. The Kodesh Yesharim says in the pasuk Thomas Nachshon Moshe Yesharim. V'gam Yeshurun v'hi b'Yeshurun Melech. Let's try to understand a little bit more about this Midah of Yasha and how it applies itself. First, let's take a very, very physical mashal. Whenever I try to chart a straight course, whenever I try to make a line that is straight, it's quite difficult. What I would do many times is I will take a compass that makes a circle, another compass, a circle the other way, and the point that gets hit is that midpoint that will be describing a straight line. I triangulate, and as I measure from the sides, and wherever the two sides come together, that's on mark. In other words, I can't always hit things straight on. It's very, very difficult, but it's much easier when I have two guides on the side and I say to myself, between the two, that's where we're going to have the emes, the yasha, the line, and it's easier because what I'm doing is taking two sides that are tangible. And knowing that by sort of triangulating between the two, I'm going to get to the line that is the midline. That's on a physical plane. Let's take this marshal a little bit further in Ruchnius. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where Shos HaShchina, Hashem is one. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests himself, and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us from between the kruvim, which are very, very strange. Everything, we're not allowed to make any images whatsoever. The Beis HaMikdash is devoid of any images, and yet in the Kodesh HaKadoshim we have two kruvim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks us from between the kruvim. And that's very, very strange that we should have forms of some sort. What is that about? And the answer is, it's the exact opposite. Those forms, the Rishonim say, represent malachim, represent angels. you cannot pinpoint where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, because that would be sort of a physical definition. It would be pinning HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to a certain point, which is something that can't be done. Rather, you need two guidelines and find HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within. It's just like if I tell somebody, if you have real Yiras Shamayim on the one hand and real Avas Hashem on the other hand, the feeling that you have between the two is the straight feeling towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. If a person has, for instance, a father, a parent, that he's in great awe of, and there's no love shown or whatever, so that's definitely a perversion of parenthood. A parent that the person has a great love for, but there's no respect, no yira, that's also a perversion of parenthood. When you have both the in-between feeling, the feeling that combines the two, the feeling that includes a tremendous reverence and a tremendous like, that is the feeling towards a parent figure, that's what it ought to be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. There's no particular point that we can pinpoint and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us from this point. We would then be Chas V'Shalom limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this, to some degree, fixing him in time and in space, which we can't do. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is understood as being between the Kruvim, Bein HaKruvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from within two guideposts on either side, and that's where we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Avos, we had Avram and Yitzchak, and Avram and Yitzchak are two middles, each one very important, but each one not the middle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from in between, we come to the middle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the Yashar, Yeshurun, and so on. The straight line is determined by the fact that when you're traveling, you may be pulled to the right, and you may be pulled to the left. When the pulls are equal, and therefore they cancel each other out, the line that you charted is a straight line. So in between the two Yemin and small, between the two midas of Avraham Yitzchak, Yaakov's mida is Yashar, Yeshurun, and that's what we got. He gave it through Moshe. So the fact that Moshe was the third child indicates it was obviously not an accident that Moshe was placed in third. It's to emphasize that he had this quality of third. Now he's going to explain where do we see his mid of Yosher manifest itself. So the first thing is he saw a Mitzri hitting an Ish Ivri, and he didn't like that. Which was two Yisraelim. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu had three different incidents. One with a Mitzri hitting a Jew, one with a Jew hitting a Jew, and one with a Midian hitting a Midianite. Now, most of the time, when we stand up for somebody, when we rise to defend somebody, we usually are doing it out of friendship to one side, out of some sort of sense of loyalty, friendship, or something or other. The idea that we're above sides and we just can't bear things that are not Yashar, that expressed itself in Moshe Rabbeinu's Anhaga. Moshe Rabbeinu went wherever he went, what was right was what he wanted, and if it wasn't right, he couldn't tolerate it. The Rambam, interesting enough, Mar Nevuchim, he says something a bit tangential, but along the point of Vayokum Moshe Vayishion, he said that the Ruach Hashem that it says many times a prophet was filled with, he says, is that the prophet in his initial stage sometimes sees some injustice, something bad, something wrong, and he rises up to help the people that are being unfairly trampled. And that's one of the signs, he says, by Shimshin, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. All of these stories of Moshe Rabbeinu were stories where this is how he got his first, this was his, the first sense of being filled with the Ruach Hashem, is to stand up for the unjustifiably oppressed and so on. So he says all of these things were from the Midas HaYosha, where he couldn't bear to stand things that were not right. I want to add a little bit more on it. What is the inyan of the helping the other? One instinctively thinks of it as being a type of chesed. Somebody's in trouble, so you help him. You're doing chesed with somebody. But that's not the sense that the morale has over here. The morale says that Avram's mida was his helping each one of these had more to do with the inherent injustice situation, people taking that which was not theirs. All the people were supposed to take water from the well. Why were the shepherds chasing away the daughters of Yisrael? The injustice bothered them because Moshe Rabbeinu's person was all Yosher. And anything which goes out of the framework of Yosha, anything that's distorted, distortion of justice, of right, is something that bothers Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's Birastli Soi. It says in the third month, Shachodesh Hu Ashlishi, Mishol Shachodesh Hu Ashlishi Nisen Shove Memutze, Kemiyar Achakach Masra Yitzir Min Hashevet Hu Arsachayim. It was the third month. It's the last month of the spring, so that it still is in the range of climate that it's pleasant, decent, however you want to call it. Which is also, it's sort of a balance between the heat and the cold, and that's why that fits. Obeyom tlisa, miyom shediba kodesh baruch hu, bavur ki ashlishi yesh bo iskula sayeshik mashamanu. Olefika chame veyinachonim liyem ashlishi. והכל הוא בשביל מיילס התויר שהיושב בעצמו. ולפיכך, אם לא יהיו ישראל ישרים, לא יהיה אפשר שנעשה התויר שהיושב הגמר. If כלל ישראל would not be ישרים, Torah could not have been given to them, which is יושב גמר. וכן אם לא יהיה מושב מסוגל ליש, לא יהיה רואה שנעשה תורה יודי. וכן הזמן גם קצר שיהיה מוכן לי. So, what he's saying here is that it's like Torah being given to Klal Yisrael wasn't just HaKadosh Baruch Hu dumped on us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, Chevra, I need somebody to take care of my Torah, and you guys have been picked. Congratulations. When Chazal go through the whole procedure of him offering it to Yishmael, to Esav, they reject on this ground, that ground, the other ground, what it meant was, it didn't fit them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Torah as the ideology, as the sense of right and wrong that fits that particular nation. And therefore, it doesn't fit Umus Olam. Exactly, because Umus Olam are not Yosha. Let's go back to the famous Chazal where Zoach Miseif Afir Miparon says HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to all the Umus Olam, and each and every one of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found one mitzvah there that they didn't like, and they rejected it because of that. So the pashtus is, it's kind of, just pick the one thing they don't like and so on. Okay, so it's pretty good when everything is, they want to keep everything except for one thing. Why didn't you try to do a little bit bargaining? And Klausel accepted everything. Is that as if Klausel doesn't have any things that they're nichshelin? Over the generations, we've been nichshel as a people in many things. You know, each era has its own issues. The answer is, giving Torah to a nation means that the values of the Torah fit the personality of the nation. It clicks in. It's like I make a tailor-made suit. A tailor-made suit. I know exactly whose it is. I put it on to the person. If there's anything sticking out over there, then we know that that's not the person. If it's loose, tight, or whatever it is, it's not that person. Even if it's only one spot, the Akadosh Baruch Hu made Torah to become a nation's essence. And even if there's one thing sticking out, that means that that nation is not suited for it. It's not exactly, that's not exactly the Torah of that nation, because there's a piece that just doesn't resonate. They can't handle that. So it doesn't resonate. So it's not built for them. Torah is Yosha, which means everything that's right clicks into place, and only Klal Yisrael is capable of that type of persona. So therefore, Klal Yisrael needed to have been Shlishi in order to have been able to mekabel the Torah. So he says, And if Klal Yisrael had not been Yosher, then Torah just wouldn't fit. Torah would be sort of a ill-fitting garment on the people. He says, if you to ask ourselves, what is Torah what is the great about Torah? That Torah fits, Torah is Yosher. It is the direct mahalach towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. and therefore this Galiloa said, if I want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the point of Torah that is praiseworthy? It's the very essence, which is, it's a Yosha. The people of Makkah don't have Yosha. Ve'af im yoidin, kol ha'chochmas, even if they know they're very, very smart. Now, he's going back to his first point that he had started with. He had started with the following nekuda. He had said that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu he had said before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what makes man, what brings man to accomplishing and realizing himself? So the philosophers had said wisdom, any type of wisdom. And, a wiser man, a smarter man is higher. And if that's true, then it could be any type of wisdom, and so on. But he had said before that that it's not the knowledge, but rather in the sense that the knowledge has in itself divine characteristics. It's in some way close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has something about the essence of the knowledge itself as a divine. And that is Yosha, which means the weighing and measuring of the different areas of existence in line with their purpose to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, Kizehu Maila Yon HaKadosh HaTorah Masha Yosha. That is the fundamental Maila of Torah, that it's Yosha. But look in the verb Kulam, Yesha Mitzia Mena Yosha. Ki Makhisha Torah Me Yosha. Even though all the chachmas are his boy, ke'af shemayin lo zaka be'necho, malach of yosim tahola, be'ein zah sagas ha'yesha. So there is no particular understanding or application that is outside of Yosha. Ve'af im yoyin, lachach kol dova shemasi b'zeh, hein godle in cotton wo a yoy shamiti ve ro sheyer ze hat veikos ve esvach le vidya shah chachmes. So it doesn't really make a difference if what I am delving in is a quote-unquote big thing or a small thing. ואין חילוק בין שאיון הוא בדבר גודל ודבר קוטן. רק בדבר זה הוא חשיב וסמל עשה סוגה, כאשר עוסק בגזרס השם יספרח על ברוב שיש מהיושה. זה תח סמל יוינה וראש ששבח גודל הזה. So he says, he adds a point here. He says, the person before had asked or commented that how could it be that if you're dealing with some mundane affair of Shoshnag Sapara or something like that, that a person would become closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is because in as much as it's forming the entire picture, it's equivalent. Let's give an example. Imagine my goal is to collect a lot of rocks, and let's say I'm trying to free my field of rocks, or I want to collect a lot of rocks and sell them. It's kind of good building material. So it's quantity. And if I do a bigger rock, it's more important than a small rock. If I have many rocks, it's more important than some rocks. And I definitely can distinguish between the big and the small, the many and the little. That's part of it. But if, let's say, I have some sort of machine that I'm trying to wire, to put together. I guess I'm still speaking like the old generation where everything was wired and it didn't have pre-printed circuits. So I'm standing and trying to wire something. So whether I'm missing a small wire, a big wire, disconnection, actual connection, almost all of it is important, and it's equally important. Without this tiny screw, the machine wouldn't work as much as with the great screw. It doesn't make a difference. Each and everything is as important as the other one. So in even a Torah, the term gadol or katan doesn't really make a difference because they're all equally important in the big picture. Since what we're trying to do is not have much good activity so that we can get much schar, but rather to hit the yosha, which means the exact placement location of every piece, then anything we do is of equal importance. V'im Keini says, Mawa Timia al ze loima shatzloch mitz on the Torah. So why is it so strange to say that we get hatzloch only for learning by Yosha Sheva Torah? Achzur ke indo v'ruoi sheyaval dibuk v'yisparach ki mayesha. People say, well, the Chochma Torah is not so Chocham, and therefore why would one become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with it? Well, the all of Torah shares one quality in which it's equal. This is the way things are supposed to be. This is the Yosher, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined and described by Yosher. So certainly it matches up. So it brings a person... So anything that I'm learning that's Emes is a genuine part of the puzzle and an irreplaceable part of the puzzle, and I need to do it. Heim b'maisin sator shem ayosha, or b'asag sator shem ayosha b'atzmoy, v'akir v'adir v'sparach. So, of all the elements of Torah, whether you're doing it, you're studying it, it inherently leads you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since Torah is, if someone were to ask you in the big picture, where does Torah lead a person to? The answer would be to the Derech Yishara. I guess, going back to our original mashal, Torah gives the proper way to each piece in a way that you get the real thread, the real road from all the pieces. This, I'm going back to the Kuzari, which the Kuzari is a the Kuzari uses this type of explanation when the Kuzari asks the Chava, he doesn't understand why the religion includes singing and dancing and all sorts of merry things, and so you may simcha and yantiv and mishta and so on. If you're ruchnistic people, then it ought to be mostly like fasting, ascetism, prayers, etc. And the chaver, who's the teacher in the Kuzari, explains to the Melech Kuzarim that you got it wrong. He said, I told you before, the good is not to be found in any one point of activity. You know, it's fasting, crying, screaming, repenting, all of those, none of them carry within themselves the good. What carries the good is the understanding of the entire picture together. It's almost the entirety of it together rather than any one point. So there is nothing you can, it's just like, for instance, an electric circuit has many components. There is no component you can say, well, this is the main component, do a lot of them. The machine or the device that you create, that is created by the appropriate integration of different pieces. So the device is actually above any one of these pieces, and it's the integrate of it all. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah. There's nothing that we have in this world, no midah, that we could possibly emphasize and say, this is divine. Divine is chesed where chesed belongs, and mishpat where mishpat belongs, and ava where ava belongs, and yira where yira belongs. Each and everything in its place, in its time, and in the right way, that the composite of all that is HaKadosh Baruch. That's Yosher, and that's why it's attained only by Torah and by every part of Torah. And no part of Torah is small or big, because each one is vital. He says, when we speak about wisdom and very wise, in the sense that this is a that this is significant, it's not just enough to say much studying. It's much studying and research. The question is what? In the philosopher's view, the way he brought it, it didn't really make a difference. It's actually the study. A noble person is someone who has studied much, even if the thing that he's studying is inherently worthless. So, for instance, a person will put a lot of mental effort in studying the history of baseball or the game of baseball. It doesn't make a difference from an academic point of view. It depends on how much brain power you put into it and what you came up with and so on and so forth. And that's the measure of but that's not the way we understand it. There is no one particular element in the world that's studying it. We would say you're studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is just a small piece. So when a person is koine a yediyah in these things, how can you say that what he gains is this type of spiritual high. The mistake we're making is that when a person learns about a Shor Shenogach, he says to himself, you know what? I now learned about an axe that caught. No, you learned about justice. And this is one particular prop that was used to explain it. So imagine somebody goes to a lecture by Einstein about the theory of relativity, and Einstein gives him the famous twin example. You know, two twins, one goes off to space, one stays on Earth, and a different age, etc., etc. Now, a person comes back after the lecture, and somebody asks him, what did you learn about? And he says, oh, about twins. The whole thing about two twins that somehow got messed up. That's very, very silly. The twins are the example, but what's inside it is a truth that transcends twins and anything like it. It's a very, very universal truth. So he says, V'cheinim olam ut chachmo bina min yasadak agalim. So there is nothing we could learn in the world where the substance itself is of any value and so on. So he says like this, whenever a person, let's give an example, let's give an analogy. Imagine a person sits and he's doodling on a piece of paper. And he doodles, I don't know, a flower. Now, let's say somebody comes along and says, so-and-so was sitting and doodled a purple flower. In terms of how important or how significant that particular event is, so let's say I walk around after somebody was a very long-winded speaker, and I'm doing the cleanup in the lecture hall, and I say, oh, I must have hit upon, you know, 50, 60 pages of different people doodling. Some doodle flowers, some doodle sand, some doodle this, that, the other thing. That is of extremely, extremely insignificant importance. It's nothing. It means nothing. It really is highly, highly important. Just, I guess, maybe indication of the fact that many people were bored. But other than that, it means nothing. Well, let's say I'm trying to study somebody's personality, and I look at the drawing that he draws and try to ask myself, what is his personality? The drawing things is his personality. That's nice, but I can look at the flower, and since he drew the flower, as somebody who has an understanding and a good eye will discern many things: how bunch of leaves are, how bright is it, is it blossoming, is it wilted, because in every act that we do, your personality shows through it. So it's true about doodling as well. So the doodle of a flower as a doodle of a flower is not really important. But the person doodling, how much the flower reflects his personality, because we tend to draw in line with how we're feeling and what we are and so on. that is very, very important, very significant, and very, very meaningful. So Shorosh HaNogach that we're learning is not just about an axe scoring an axe. It's not a story about axe scoring at all. It's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifesting itself in this case. And this, every since everything that's done by Ratzon Yisbarach carries itself the same quality of Ratzon Yisbarach, it is actually going to have the quality of the divine in it. And b'meila, since it's going to have the quality of the divine in it, we know a bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we know how he would like us to deal with Shorosh HaNogach. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to deal with the Shorosh HaNogach is coming from a much, much deeper place. It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision, so to speak, of what tzedek is and emes and mishpat, and this is just a reflection of it. So knowing that opens up a much bigger world for us. Okay, we'll hold it here.